Iowa everywhere.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Iowa Everywhere. And now, it's time for Two Guys Named Chris, powered by Fairway Meat and Grocery. This is Iowa Everywhere for the fans.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Two Guys Named Chris here on Thursday, February 2nd. It is the it's Groundhog Day. Did that rodent see its shadow?
Pretty fitting that it's Groundhog Day, Chris, after what we saw in Iowa City.
Boom! He's Chris Hassel. My name's Chris Williams. We are presented, as always, by our friends at Fairway Meat and Grocery. I want to give a shout-out to our friends at Circa Sports Iowa as we are giving away a trip to Circa, and we are giving away a $300 gift card to Fairway for your big game house party. We will be giving it away on our show coming up early next week on the 6th. How do you enter? It is very simple. You simply go to iowaeverywhere.com. It is a giant banner on the front page. You simply fill out your name and your email, and you're involved to win. And the good thing is, Hassel, we're not one of those national companies that's throwing you into a pool of like hundreds of thousands of people. No, you're going to probably, you're in with however many people sign up for this. So your chances of winning are pretty good. I mean, because not a ton of people, everybody who listens doesn't fill one of these things out. So, like, my point is, like, you're kind of dumb not to do this. Do you want a free trip to Las Vegas, and do you want $300 from Fairway? Like, go sign up at iowaeverywhere.com. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Your lower lip's looking extra plump this morning. Did you just get a collagen injection down there? I mean, you call me the diva, and it looks like you've got new lips on.
No, my lips are normal.
Okay.
They're a little chapped. I mean, it's been pretty cold here.
You got extra plump lips this morning. Were you doing a lot of kissing ass at that event last night?
Oh, I see where this is going.
No, I'm asking.
My lips are totally the same. And these lips have been kissing ass for 38 years, baby. How do you think I got here?
What was the event last night?
It was Cyclone Fanatic / We Will Collective.
You've teamed up with the We Will. Okay.
Yeah, well, so I started doing these, what we called recruiting parties back in the day. The first one we threw was in like 2004. It was back when I worked at scout.com. And
is that when you worked for Narcisse and Dees?
Yeah.
Dees?
Yes. Indeed. Do you remember the old three-bag bar in Des Moines?
Yeah, the three-bagger. That's when Dave Zavalinsky almost got his ass kicked on his birthday party.
The first one ever was at three-bag, and my guests were Chris Ash, former Rutgers head coach, and Tony Alford, who I believe is still, I don't know where Tony's at now. And McCarney, we would have like these McCarney, and this was back when the internet wasn't really much of a thing, and so like we would play the highlight tape of the recruiting classes, and the coaches would sit there and like analyze the different players who they had signed, and it was a really like cool exclusive type of event. Well, you know, and then everything kept evolving as the internet, and it's like, oh, if you wanted to watch this highlight tape, you can just go onto YouTube, right? So like it kind of evolved, and I've been doing it really ever since. And then now with the We Will thing and with Bloom, it makes sense to team up and do it as a fundraiser. And it's a nice little perk for our premium subscribers to get to go to this thing. So yeah, at the end of the day, the world's just kind of evolved, right? And it makes more sense to team up with those guys. And here we are, but yeah,
you're
it was
me
weird
fall asleep right now. I should have never asked you about this event.
Just a, all right, just go a, ahead and lead the. Do you want to talk about the shenanigans going on in Iowa? Fine.
An infomercial for your little Wee Will and your Cyclone Fanatic.
Where
do you want to start, man? I mean, it was obvious in the afternoon yesterday, and then last night as we went to bed on Wednesday night, all hell broke loose with the Orange Crush going after the Iowa Athletic Department, and then the Iowa Athletic Department clapping back. But I feel like the obviously the bigger story and the longer lasting story is what we saw in Iowa City in the afternoon.
How are we not going to lead with the 23-point Iowa State basketball meltdown? Oh yeah, Kirk Ferentz had a press conference.
Yeah, Ferentz talked, Barta talked, and I was just finishing up my show on CBS Sports Network, and the Ferentz thing had started, but it was like Tyler Barnes talking forever about a recruiting class nobody cares about, because all anybody wanted to hear about yesterday was, okay, what are you going to say about your little evaluation and the changes that may or may not be coming? And I'll say this from the very get-go, I did not expect him to say they were going to make any changes. I'm not surprised at all that they're not making any changes as of now, but that didn't make that press conference any less infuriating, because, I mean, it was just eye roll after eye roll. God bless those reporters. They get a lot of flack from Iowa fans who claim that they don't ask the tough questions. They asked some really good questions. After Kirk Ferentz said that he does not anticipate any staff changes, and the staff, he thought, did a great job last year, they asked him several times very specific questions about Brian Ferentz. Like, what makes him a good offensive coordinator? Very simple question. And Ferentz would not answer it. He wouldn't. He kept bringing in the other coordinators. If you asked him, Kirk, what does Brian do well that makes him a good offensive coordinator? He would say, well, I would say the same thing for all of our coordinators, from our special teams coordinator to our defensive coordinator to punt coordinator Carl Pepper, who's getting a little extra play today. Carl Pepper is probably the most excited one of the bunch that there's no staff changes. He's Iowa's esteemed punt coordinator who calls the offensive plays.
Legit.
To set up the punt. It was, I feel like, just kind of a slap in the face.
It was really interesting to, I mean, hear him basically say this is and was a personnel issue and has nothing to do with our scheme.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
He spent a long time going through every position group on offense, pointing out all the things that were wrong with each position group, but never said anything was wrong about any coach, you know? Now, he did say, this is my fault. He would always say, this always comes back on me, and this always comes back on the coaches, but would not specifically talk about Brian, which was really odd, really bizarre to me that he couldn't even say and wouldn't even say what Brian does well, why he is in the position he is in, and why you expect him to stay in that position. He kept bringing up random stats. Like, I feel like he thought one stat was going to be a real zinger, which was the when we scored 24 or more points since 2015, we are 55-3. Well, no shit. That's what we've been saying all along. That's why you need a better offense, because when you get to 24, 25, 26, you win the game. But so often you're not getting there. And so often it's the defense scoring points for you. Sometimes the special team scoring points for you. We're not asking for 35 points a game. We're not asking for a spread offense. Just want a competent offense. Unfortunately, it looks like we are going to get worst case scenario, Chris, which we talked about here a couple of months ago. Cade McNamara in that quarterback room. He's got Spencer Petras over here. Hey, Spencer. And Brian Ferentz over here. Hey, Brian Alder. How you feel about that going into the season, Christopher?
I'm actually surprised. Maybe I just haven't been around as intently as you have. I thought he would make a move. I thought something would happen. I thought Brian would get shipped off to one of Kirk's buddies in the NFL.
I thought that the only way there was going to be a move was Brian being reassigned offensively to the offensive line, or yes, somehow finding a way to get him into the NFL. But I thought that was very unlikely.
Well, because he's, again, and for our more casual listeners who are like, well, why would he be in the NFL? Because he's virtually unhirable in college right now because of the ongoing stuff, right? Like,
and Ferentz has a lot of friends in the NFL who,
yeah,
I'm sure a lot of them would be willing to do Kirk Ferentz a big solid. And I have seen today that there are some Iowa fans hoping that that's still a possibility because there are still a bunch of moves to be made in the NFL. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. if something happened? He didn't slam the door shut. He didn't say
no.
There won't be any changes. He said,
I don't anticipate
any changes. But at the same time, that is a horrible way to go about things. So if you find something for Brian in 2 weeks, then what are you going to do with the offensive coordinator position? Unless you've got a guy waiting in the wings who's like on this tentative plan, like, if we can get Brian somewhere, you're our guy. But then what's this other guy doing? Whether it's the old Miami offensive coordinator who worked with Cade McNamara at Michigan. Is he just going to sit and wait around?
Gattis.
Yeah. Is he going to sit and wait around for you to try to find Brian Ferentz? And what kind of way is this to go about running a program, if that's the case? And then you had Gary Barr to come up. And I thought, he made it even worse the way he, and that's not a surprise. He usually does. But he comes up, and I don't know if you watched the whole thing, Chris, but if you go back and watch it.
We have really some audio and video. Do you want to see some real quick?
You do? Okay. I didn't know since Van Wink got food poisoning from the Popeye's chicken sandwich last night, I wasn't sure if we had it.
True story there. So our main man, Brock Berman.
Thanks for filling in, man.
Brock actually has COVID right now.
Jeez!
But we can do it all remotely. So...
Don't breathe on that microphone too hard.
Brock did a good job. He pulled some audio for us. Do you want Ferentz or Barta? Let's do Barta real quick, and then we can hear from Kirk Ferentz. Let's see what Gary Barta had to say.
To indicate that Brian's not qualified simply is, that's a bad narrative. I would indicate he's uniquely qualified. He grew up here around this program. He played offense in this offense. And over the past 10 years, arguably one of our best decades in Hawkeye football, he's been an integral part of that staff. So no backing down on the fact that last year, 17 points a game is not going to get it done. Again, I've had conversations with him about my expectations going forward, and those conversations are ongoing. But success of Kirk and Brian and our staff over the past 24 years, and certainly including the last five, is pretty hard to argue with.
They kept bringing it back to, the first 4 years of Brian Ferentz's tenure. I'm not going to argue with that. I'm not going to say Brian wasn't or isn't qualified. He's been in the program. He's played for the program. I don't know if he's qualified. Honestly, I have no clue.
We just watched the games.
Yes, we're just looking at the results. And don't give me these, from 2015 to 2019, we were actually averaging 28 points per game. Don't give me that garbage. Who cares about that now? This is about the here and now, and not just the last few games of last season, not just last season. This is the last few seasons where this program was a competent offense away from being elite. And they throw out all the stats. Well, there's only five schools that have won eight or more games since blah, 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 blah. It's not about wins and losses at this point. We get it. The defense is amazing. The special teams is incredible. Get a competent offense, and you're looking at a totally different level of program. But for whatever reason, and I think we know why, that's not happening.
Well, and again, doesn't it just come back to the very simple question, if that offense existed the way that it has in Iowa for the last however many years, he would not still be employed at any other university?
No, absolutely not. He would have been gone after last season.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, when you're evaluating a coach, you're not, well, geez, well, from year one to year four, he was pretty good. I know things have been bad the last 3 years, the last 2 years, but year one, maybe, it doesn't happen like that. You know, you look at a coach, he might have, look at Gattis, for instance. Coordinator of the year at Michigan, goes to Miami, bad year, gone. Byron Leftwich, offensive coordinator for the Bucks. He was a hot head coaching commodity. One bad year, gone.
You could even use Iowa State. I mean, I crunched the numbers a little bit.
Great point.
Manning had in the last 2 years prior to this last year, the top-ranked passing offense in the Big 12 and the top-ranked rushing offense in the Big 12. He had the one bad year, and they fired him.
And that's – you can argue that maybe that's a little too quick. Maybe things happen a little too quick in college football in the NFL, but that's how it happens. And in Iowa City, it moves slow. And now the thing that really got me about Barta was when he kept talking about the unique relationship that Brian has with Kirk. And he caught himself once because he kept saying, you know, and I have to step in and be the, you know, I'm in a unique position too because I am Brian's direct report. So it's been an interesting year. I mean, interesting 5 or 6 years. Like he caught himself because he was talking about how this year has been different. No,
I still can't believe I still can't believe that clip from earlier in the year where he's like, "Well, I'll talk to Kirk," you know, and it's just, man, the whole thing. You know, when you do this, Chris, you learn over the years, like, we don't know everything. We know a very small amount of what's going on in that building, and you need to respect that. But from the outside, the PR that goes with everything, apparently, that Barta does just seems so not thought out.
Right.
Right? They're always on the defensive. It just... And yesterday, and Barta, you're right. I understand why he had to talk, and I'll give him credit for going
too,
up there.
I think he needed to do that.
But it didn't
help. I wasn't
help.
Expecting it, but I think he needed to do that. But yes, it didn't help. There was nothing he said that, and maybe there was nothing he could have said that made us feel better.
Well, no, after the decision had been made, he couldn't have said any. Like everything he said was going to sound stupid.
Even Barta, it was like there were specific talking points that they had to follow, and they were tiptoeing around certain things. Like, how odd is it that Barta said that, he's had conversations with Brian about the job, and those conversations are ongoing. Like, they're leaving some kind of door open.
I agree with you. The whole I don't anticipate thing popped for me too, but...
And are they going to try to sneak Brian out the back door here this spring? The problem is, that's not the way to go about things. If you're going to make a move... You make a move for your program, not for somebody landing on his feet. But that's the problem when you have someone you care about, like a son, who is directly beneath you, and tough decisions need to be made. Iowa should have been moving on a new offensive coordinator months ago.
So let's hear real quick. We do have this audio from Kirk Ferentz, and then I want to get to the student section Illinois thing, which is a... nice, juicy story. It's not like this rivalry didn't need any more.
I love it. It's
any
great.
More juice. We'll get into that coming up. Let's hear from Kirk Ferentz yesterday.
As I stand here today, I anticipate no changes in our staff moving forward. That's my plan, certainly. I think we do have a terrific staff, and I thought they did a great job last year in tough circumstances and navigated us through, I think, some big challenges. I thought our guys really coached at a high level.
130th in yards per game.
I think there were a lot of coaches who did coach at a high level. They just didn't happen to be on offense.
Brandon is watching on YouTube because I was curious who would be venting harder this morning, hassle about Brian Ferentz or Williams about the meltdown on Monday night. Well, I've had 3 days to kind of chill, and I actually got a lot of that out yesterday with John Miller. We absolutely would have led with that had all this not happened in Iowa City. As we tiptoe into basketball, that was, Chris, one of the hardest sporting events I've ever watched on Monday night. One of the most, like, just disgusting, difficult. Iowa State, I don't know if they had the yips or what happened the last 10
Damon
minutes.
Lipsy certainly did.
They couldn't even get the ball across half court. Couldn't make a free throw. Couldn't do anything right. And, you know, I really do worry. And we saw this last year, the way that they play, where they did hit a wall about halfway through the Big 12 season where they're just gas. And I just am fearful that they are there right now and that this could be a tough stretch. You get Kansas coming to town.
Kansas
on
is
Saturday.
Feeling good now.
Kansas, yeah, they bounced back from the three-game losing streak. They look great. I'm worrying that this could be a 3-4 game losing streak for Iowa State. I think they have at West Virginia after that, which is a brutal place to play.
Chris, you've said all along on this podcast and others that Iowa State's going to have a tough stretch, a losing stretch during this Big 12 season. It's going to come at some point. The problem is you just didn't see it like this.
No. Well,
historic fashion.
If you lose at Tech, they were an underdog.
Right. Like it's picked them to lose.
Yeah. Not that way.
Blowing the biggest lead in Big 12, Big 8 history in the second half. No one had ever come back from 23 down in Big 12, Big 8 history to win a game.
And it wasn't even like the second half. It was like the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, 12 and a half minutes to go. They were up by 23. And there were several points in that comeback where, you know, Grill hit a three and upped the lead back to seven with, I don't know, 3 minutes to go. Okay, all right. They're going to be okay. And then with, I don't know what it was 30 seconds to go. You're still up five.
Still should have won.
You're up 5 points. You get a miss, I think, but you can't get the rebound. And then they get a three. Okay, it goes in. You're still up two with 25 seconds left. Like that, you're still in a great spot.
Just hold on to the basketball and make him foul you.
And they couldn't hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an epic disaster.
The worst part for me about it, because again, like I picked him to lose. But the worst part about it for me is that their identity is being so good on defense.
Right.
And that's supposed to travel, right?
That's three straight games now the defense has not been good.
And that's where I feel like they may have hit a wall. Because like that's what they do. That's supposed to travel. That's supposed to always, you know, be a thing. Doesn't matter. Like if you're having a tough night shooting, you should still be able to defend, all that stuff. And that, mm-hmm. to me, isn't what it was. And it was downright awful in the second half against Texas Tech.
What is it? Just
if you
me,
play average defense, you win that game no matter what.
Who was that fifth-year Texas Tech guard wearing number 23? He looked like he was three times faster than everybody else. That guy would dribble, spin, get to the rim every single time down
O'Banner.
The court.
Yeah.
No, not O'Banner. The point guard who would just jitterbug his way.
Harmon.
Oh, my God. He was so much quicker than everybody else and under control. And, God, he was so impressive. But I don't know if it was Iowa State fatigue because...
I don't know.
Other than Grill, I mean, they were playing their second game in 48 hours.
They really need Kuntz back. I mean, they're gassed. Like, that's just my...
Is he coming back for the Kansas game Saturday?
Hearing questionable. It'll be if he gets cleared. I mean, I think that he wants to play. I think he feels like he can play, but the doctors have to clear him.
I think we've reached a point where they need him.
Yeah.
Didn't seem like they needed him for a while.
This is true. But Nate says on YouTube, and he's right, defense doesn't explain all the turnovers.
I agree.
And that's where I said they had the yips. But if you're playing average defense with a 23-point lead, even with the turnovers, you should still be able to win.
Mm-hmm.
That's my whole point. They lost it on offense. I get it. But normally that defense is their backbone, and it was gone.
How about Kalsher, an 80-plus percent free throw shooter, just totally falling apart at the line in that game?
Make one of them, one more, and you win. And then you had Robert Jones, a 30% free throw shooter.
He made two.
So, I'm not picking them to win on Saturday. I don't know what the line's going to be. Let me look at it.
Yeah, I don't like
the
spot.
It's going to be around a pick 'em. I'm picking Kansas.
Going to really need a great crowd there. I hear people are already camping out, a couple anyway.
Seriously?
For that game. Seems a bit excessive. Yeah, I can't remember who tweeted that last night, but yeah, somebody said, we are 66 hours before tip-off, and we've seen our first tents pop up.
Hey, at least it was a quad one loss. Doesn't really hurt you.
Yeah, look, this game, that the loss wasn't about hurting their seeding or anything like that. It was about the way they lost and how are they going to respond after this.
I'm worried about Lipsy. Like, is he at a total freshman wall? Like, mentally, can he recover from that? He seems like a pretty tough kid, so I'll give him the benefit of doubt. But, man,
so many people were clamoring for TJ to take him out of that game. Who then is running?
They don't have a point guard after him.
That's the problem. Is it you give me have Jaron Holmes trying to run it up the court every
time?
Which
he can't dribble. You know, he's really good, but he's not a good ball handler. So, boy, I tell you what, there is a playbook how to mess with this Iowa State team, and Missouri and Texas Tech and Iowa have put it together pretty well. If you play that tempo, you know, that it's it can really mess with them. Mm-hmm. Real quick, I want to remind everybody to go to iowaeverywhere.com and sign up for our big game house party with our friends from Circa and Fairway, where you can win a $300 Fairway gift card and a trip for two to Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. That is a sweet deal. Go to iowaeverywhere.com. All you have to do is sign up, and we're going to do the drawing next week.
Hell
and
yeah.
Give that away. Also, Jared Stansberry and Jordan Bohannon will be at Wellman's in West Des Moines for the big game.
Stansberry seems like a Wellman's kind of guy.
Yeah, I feel like he fits in quite well there. Oh, I would agree.
Yeah.
So you can go and hang out with Jared and J-Bo and watch the Eagles take on the Chiefs. And I think I might stop out there and say hi as well. So
is that the Wellman's out in West Des Moines?
Yeah, that's your old stomping ground.
The old rooftop?
Honest. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Man, I used to go there on Saturday nights. Well, you go there, you get free beer on your birthday, free drinks on your birthday.
Really? It's my wife's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday to Mrs. Williams.
Yeah, the doctor. Good doctor. We're going to go out and get some breakfast after this.
The good doctor.
So, by the way, at the event last night,
yeah,
multiple people offered to pay money to watch our dads do a podcast.
Oh, yeah?
One guy came up to me and was like, I'd give anything to see Don Hassel in this building right now with all the Iowa State coaches and these fans.
I would love to see that, too. I don't know what he would do.
Mic him up and just follow him around with, like, a candid camera.
Look at these hicks. Look at all these idiots, these farmers. Probably got manure all over their shoes and boots.
I'm down with our dads doing this, and I think it'd be great. But we can't do it live. We got to have the editing feature.
I'm worried about the cancel culture thing with my dad.
Yeah.
He is, and it's not like he's not a right-wing guy. He's a left-winger. He's a Democrat, okay?
Okay.
Just put that out there.
My dad's a Republican, so this is even more perfect.
Oh,
they can fight about politics, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And it fits the stereotype perfectly. My dad is a Southwest Iowa Republican. Your dad is an Eastern Iowa elitist Democrat, mm-hmm. Hawkeye, Chicago. It's perfect.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Jeez.
Just let him fight.
I don't know. He says things sometimes, man, that, like, Dad, you can't say that. You can't even put that in the group text.
let's get to this.
He's like, what? I don't mean anything by it.
I want to get to this Illinois student section story. Again, I'm trying to do my day job last night. And I don't really cover Iowa, but we talk about Iowa. You know, it's a... And God damn it, Chris. Like, we can't just have an easy night. I already know that we're going to have to do the Ferentz thing. And then I'm starting to get these texts... So you're going to have to kind of fill in some lines for me. So, I mean, from a 50-foot view,
mm-hmm.
So Illinois student section, like, faked who they are.
Well, okay, the Orange Crush, the Illinois student section, they pick one game a year where they send hundreds of their people. And it's like a group. It's like, I think you have to pay to be involved in the Orange Crush. and it's a nonprofit, and they raise a lot of money for charities, including the Boys and Girls Club. And each year they go out on a road trip, and we've seen them at Carver Hawkeye take over sections before.
Yeah.
And so they bought up 200 tickets or so a long time ago at a discounted rate. And the discounted rate is for buying tickets in bulk, one. And from what I've been told, two, nonprofit organizations like the Orange Crush. Well, they did not say they were the Orange Crush, obviously, because if they do, they're probably going to get shut down. So they always say something else. So in this case, they said this was a Boys and Girls Club charter in Illinois, which apparently they've raised a lot of money for. Okay, millions of dollars they've raised for charity, according to their website.
Okay.
They're all set to go. They've got the buses all lined up. They're gearing up. They can't wait to get over to Iowa City. Yesterday, February 1st, just a few days before the game, they get a call from Iowa saying, this is a fraud. You're not from the Boys and Girls Club. We are not honoring your tickets. We'll refund you, but we're not honoring your tickets. So then the Orange Crush is just crushed. Sorry. They've got all these buses lined up. They've spent all this money. They've took all these resources planned for, I'm sure, hotels and all that too, to go to Iowa City. So they are pissed. Just pissed that Iowa is not going to let them come. So they put out that scathing statement. They called Gary Barta, I think they called him a coward. And so social media blows up. You have all these national people saying Iowa looks terrible. What the hell are you doing? How could you do this? And Iowa, it's like they were sitting on it, just waiting. They were sitting on a statement, just I hope the Orange Crush. So then Iowa, boom, quick statement. The Iowa Athletics Department became aware of a discounted group ticket order for the Iowa-Illinois men's basketball game on behalf of an Illinois chapter of the Boys and Girls Club. In following up with that organization, it became clear this was not factual. When contacting the individual who made the original ticket order, they admitted to falsely ordering tickets under the nonprofit organization. So then you've got Iowa fans coming in. Yeah, screw them, those bastards. They're trying to screw over the Boys and Girls Clubs. They don't care about charity. And Iowa at the same time, savvy PR move here, which you don't see often from Iowa. Iowa says, we refunded the original ticket orders and donated the tickets to the Boys and Girls Club of Cedar Rapids.
I love it.
So now we're left with, okay, which side are we siding with here? And I think it's somewhere surprisingly closer to the middle. At first, that Iowa thing came out, and I was like, oh, man, they really got Illinois. Then I started reading into it a little bit more, learning a little bit more about what they do, all the money they raise for charities, and how they have to go about getting these tickets for games. And they had to raise money to be able to make this trip.
So, and they were saying that because Iowa gave them such late notice, they've lost all this money? Is that?
Yes, because they've already made all the arrangements. They've booked the charter buses, I'm sure hotels, all that.
So that, and then if you're anti-Iowa here, you're saying to them, so basically you just stole, you didn't steal, you basically just screwed a charity.
Yeah, you're out of a bunch of money. Because we're going to take over a section in the arena. But Iowa can stand on their, I don't know if it's legal ground, but their morals and say, well, this was a falsely, this was falsified, and these tickets were falsely attained under the name of the Boys and Girls Club of Illinois. That's not the case, so we're not going to give it to you. And they can do that, but should they do that? And the way they put it out there, they kind of led us in the direction that the Orange Crush was almost trying to, take advantage of charities. And I don't think that's the case. I really don't. So I think it's somewhere in the middle. I think this is what a rivalry is about. They have taken over Carver before. And Iowa was sick of it. I don't know when they found out. I also think it's interesting that they did this on the day where they knew there was going to be public backlash with Kirk Ferentz going up there and saying
you think
there
they're that
no
smart?
Staff changes. I don't know about that. But I do find it interesting. Because had if they found out, let's just say a month ago, maybe they said, well, let's hold this for a really special moment. Maybe when we need to turn the PR narrative around.
The only thing I would...
It took a lot of the focus, last night anyway, it took a lot of the focus off of what happened earlier in the day with that press conference.
The only critique I would give Iowa here is do it earlier. Or maybe they had to wait until the last home game was over and then they moved to the next one and like, right. Oh, they discovered this. I don't know. It does seem a little bit cheap to just do it a couple days before the game because you are working with college students who are running a charity. This is not, you know, like if you put it that way, it's like, yeah, but we constantly make fun of Carver Hawkeye Arena with the old ladies knitting, with the shitty home court advantage.
How about this, Chris?
And they're trying to protect that for their big Saturday sellout.
You had a group of college students who were willingly going to travel to go to Carver Hawkeye Arena. We don't see that out of the Iowa students.
Think about it this way. They're paying to be in this student section.
I don't know if it's the student section.
I'm saying that Illinois students want to be in the student section so bad that they'll pay extra money to be in their student section.
Well, yeah, at Illinois, correct.
Think about that.
That's how elusive that group is, to be able to get in there and surround that court in Champaign. You do. And I think you have to do, like, there's community service and all kinds of stuff. Whereas in Iowa City, if... Free pizza at Carver, free tickets, free pizza, free Carver cones, come on down. Like I said last week.
But they have to cross the river.
I feel like it's a chore for these kids to go to Carver Hawkeye Arena. Now, having said that, it's a sellout. It's a Saturday game. Iowa's 1-2 in a row. Illinois second place in the conference. This is really best case scenario for atmospheres at Carver. I think it is going to be a fantastic atmosphere at Carver because you've got Illinois, the rival in town. Iowa's playing well at home. You've got this situation, which is going to fire a bunch of other people up. And it's probably because of the game time and the game day going to lend itself to the most students we've seen in the game this season.
I don't blame Iowa. I mean, I think that they probably could have done it a little bit differently if you consider that these are college students and this is technically
I don't blame either side because I think that's how the Orange Crush had to go about it. I think the worst part, the two worst things about this, you named one of them, that Iowa waited until the last minute.
Yeah.
Maybe they just found out. I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah.
The other thing is just the scathing Orange Crush statement that calls Gary Barta a coward. that was a little, I mean, come on. Because you had to know that Iowa was going to come back and say, yeah, but you lied about where you were buying the tickets from. Like, I know you guys do that all the time, but it's pretty easy to clap back and say that.
I would love to get Fran McCaffrey's take on this. It could be really interesting.
You think Fran will come on the podcast?
I'm guessing that he would decline an invitation.
What would you put the chances of Fran McCaffrey coming on Two Guys Named Chris? If we asked him.
Like Vegas odds from our friends at Circa?
No, just a percentage chance.
I would say under 5% for sure.
Oh, God, you're not even close.
1%?
No.
0. He used to come on my radio show, but he hasn't for years.
0.0, Chris.
I think the day I kind of soured him over there was when they played Otzelberger's South Dakota State team and lost, and I played the South Dakota State fight song on the show.
What? Like leading into McCaffrey coming on?
No. I think they got word over there that some jackass host in Des Moines, they had no idea who I was. I'm not relevant to them. You'd probably tell Fran McCaffrey my name. I doubt he even knows who I am. You, on the other hand.
Well, we had
that, I have a feeling he knows who you are.
Well, yeah, I interviewed him as Gary Dolphin a few years ago. Remember that? At the Coaches versus Cancer or whatever that thing was in Des Moines? Yeah. Asked him if he got his, hepatitis shot before he went and coached in Ames.
Maybe Bohannon could help smooth this and get Fran McCaffrey over here.
I went on Bohannon's podcast last year. Do you remember this? No, maybe it was 2 years ago. And it was all great. Had a great conversation.
Yeah, I remember
time.
That.
And then apparently he got so much flack for having me on, he released a statement on Twitter, and the headline was I think, if my memory is correct, the headline was the Chris Hassel controversy. And the controversy was having me on this podcast. That's how I remember it.
I remember listening to that. It was good.
It was fun. I had a good time. But man, I must have gotten back to the old McCaffreys there that I was on the podcast. And then
let's see in the off season what we can do.
About what?
I have some allies over at the University of Iowa about getting Fran over here on the show.
I would love to have that. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, it's 0.0% chance.
I'm just saying, let me do a little massaging. Believe it or not, and like the Iowa fans watching who hate me, and there's a lot of you, I could do a little massaging over there. I've been in Iowa City so much because of my oldest daughter that I've spent a lot of time in that place and gotten to be friends with some of those people. And they're good people. It's just, you get it, and I got to give credit to our friend Keith Murphy, who talks about this all the time, but the bunkers that these guys live in, man.
Matt Campbell's the same way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Matt, but we're not nearly as close as we used to be, because you criticize people, and then it's just how this works. And then the longer you're at a place, as a coach goes, the more thick your skin is, but in the same token, you just become a harder individual. Like when I say that, I mean, you're impenetrable, if that makes sense. Like you're not as welcoming, you're not as warm. And I've seen it for every coach, Chris, that I've ever covered in this state. The longer they're there, it just happens. And I think it's just a natural thing. Fran's been there a long time. And this is a guy who I think he's a pretty sensitive individual just by nature. That's not a critique. I think he just is. And I mean,
it is a critique. You mean it's not a critic?
No, I think that that's just who he is as a human.
Yeah, sure. But you're critiquing how he is.
Okay, fine. Right. It's not a criticism of him. It's how God made him. Some coaches don't give a shit. Like what other people, I think Fran generally is just a sensitive human being by nature. I don't think Kirk Ferentz is in that sense. Like, I don't think Kirk gives a shit what you think.
Right. Well, to a certain extent, I think he likes digging in a little bit. He likes showing it to you a little bit, but he's not going to do something because we say, he's
Matt Campbell is not sensitive. He doesn't give a shit. Rhodes was very sensitive. TJ Otzelberger, not sensitive. Bill Finnelly, sensitive. I could go through and I can write the script on all these guys who we've covered. And it's just, they're at the end of the day, they're all humans. Right? They're all just human beings. And and who these guys have around them is the biggest thing. So I'm guessing Fran has people around him that are telling him, oh, this Hassel guy, right? But some guys, I don't think that anybody in Campbell's office is being like, oh, my God, Chris and Chris are constantly talking about you not having a special teams coordinator. I don't think they give a shit.
Oh, you don't think he made that move because we kept calling for it?
No, I don't. So it just, I don't know. It's a really interesting dichotomy of what we do here on a daily basis. Well, I'm going to get Fran on the show. We're going to do this. I'm going to be the guy who's going to lead the charge here.
You know what? I'll give you $100 if you can get Fran on the show.
That's it?
That's it. That's a lot of money in Iowa, isn't it? $100. What do you got? No, $8 cocktails in Des Moines.
You can just, next time we're in Vegas, put down a $100 bet for me. How about that?
Okay. Sounds good.
Deal. Anyway, so let's just do real quick. We'll wrap this thing up a little bit early. Do you have a prediction? Do you think Iowa beats Illinois?
I think it's going to be a really good game. I do. Iowa has been so impressive on the offensive end, but when you look at the numbers, like, they need 80-plus points to win games.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't get to that 80-point mark, they don't win games. So the offense needs to keep coming, and on the road, always happen. I think there's going to be enough juice in the building. It's going to get Iowa over the top. I do think Iowa's going to win the game.
Interesting top 15 defense by Illinois. And
against Iowa, it hasn't mattered. I mean, look at Rutgers.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Western. I mean, they can still
Iowa's
score
offense at five.
On these really good defensive teams. Iowa State. Because when they make 40 to 50% of their three-point shots, they're almost unbeatable. I mean, and they've been doing that lately. When Samford's going, he had a six-point play the other night. They look so good at times, and then you see them again, you're like, why? How do they score so many? It's an enigma, and a lot of teams are like that. Iowa State's going through the same thing right now. But I was feeling good. Iowa State's not. I do not think Iowa State's going to beat Kansas.
I don't either. I'm picking
Kansas.
It's going
to be a three-game losing skid.
They're going to lose
Kansas
four in a row.
Kansas took their lumps. Kansas went through that three-game losing skid. And then
Iowa State's going to lose four. They're going to lose at West Virginia, too.
Yeah.
They'll have a four-game losing streak.
If they're carrying a three-game losing streak going into West Virginia, that's going to be tough. And then you start thinking, geez, we're really hurting our seeding now. And now the Big 12 title is out of reach. But I think you also have to keep in mind you reset the expectations a little bit.
Yeah.
Because of all the overachieving that's been done so far.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, and this is a very real thing in the Big 12 because you play everybody. The second timer, Lipsy's been scouted, man. You don't have to defend him. If he's out there and if Robert Jones is out there, you don't have to defend these guys. So you're seeing there's really good coaches in this league. And they're starting to see you more. There's more on tape. They've seen you for the second time. We saw that with Texas Tech. Second time they've played Lipsy. Don't guard him. Right, and so Iowa State now, Ott's and his staff are going to have to make some adjustments, and we'll see the chess match here. It's fun. They lost four in a row last year and recovered very nicely, and I have all the faith in the world that they will do that again. But I'm telling you guys, I think this is a tough stretch. They're going to lose on. Yeah. I hope I'm wrong. West Virginia is one of the toughest places in college basketball to go play. And if you're already hanging your head a little bit, I mean. Be tough, but that'll be a lit atmosphere. We're gonna have two great atmospheres coming up on Saturday.
West Virginia, all I'm thinking about is how they're gonna press the living crap out of Iowa State.
Horrible! It's a terrible matchup. It is a horrible matchup. They have to have Jazz Kuntz back for that one if they're gonna win. If they would have had Jazz for 10 minutes the other way, they wouldn't have lost Texas Tech. But you don't. He's hurt. You know, they need that extra guy right now. Who can defend, who can rebound, do all the things that don't show up in the stat book. They need him badly, especially with an injured Grill. Grill played amazing the other night. He's still injured, right? He's playing hurt. They are banged up, and they need their extra guy right now.
At least he has a couple extra days, but once again.
No doubt.
Since they didn't play midweek this week. Wanted to give some love to the women's teams. In this state, but
yeah.
Man, what happened with Iowa State last night? What is up with Kansas State women? They beat Iowa, and now they beat Iowa State.
I didn't get to watch it last night. I was at the event, but I saw that they lost by one, and that Ashley Jones had a rough night. That's the only thing I know about it at this point.
Big one coming up tonight in Iowa City.
Who do they have?
It is a top 10 showdown, Christopher, on national TV. It's Iowa, number 6 in the country, hosting Maryland, number 8 in the country, 8:30 Eastern time. How about this? The Iowa women get ESPN, the mothership.
Wow, awesome.
While Iowa State men and Kansas men keep struggling to get anything that's not streaming.
These guys are the biggest liars when they talk about how there's no money in basketball, and then they put Kansas State on ESPN Plus the other night. No, you're literally forcing people to download to pay for your subscription. That's what you're doing. Just admit it. And then they'll come to you and they'll be like, "Well, you know, but Kansas State was picked last in the Big 12. It's still a rivalry. Like, you know what you're doing."
Oh yeah. And it's still Kansas.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who Kansas is.
Anybody will watch it. North Carolina fans will watch it because it's Kansas.
Now, I did hear that I didn't watch that game, the Kansas State game on ESPN Plus, but I did get a message from somebody that said Jay Billis was calling the game. So they upped the crew, clearly. But I still don't, I don't think there was anything surrounding the game, like a pregame, halftime, postgame.
Well, they didn't even do that. The Iowa State Kansas State game last week, two top 15 teams, they didn't even have a halftime show on ESPNU.
Oh yeah, they don't do ESPNU halftimes. If it's the same way that it was when I was there, they would even do this for ESPN2 sometimes, because I would do those halftime shows sometimes. What they would do is you would record a half. So you're responsible for the game on ESPN. Sometimes they only have one studio show going per night.
Yeah.
So you're responsible for whatever happens when it comes halftime on ESPN. You have to record a halftime that will live on ESPN2 and ESPNU or ESPN News. So that's all. They don't have 2, 3, 4 different halftime crews.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually one. Sometimes, rarely, you'll get two. But usually two. They only do that for college football. So you're really only getting surrounding stuff from a game that's on ESPN. Like tonight, there's going to be a studio presence for the Iowa State or for the Iowa Maryland women's game. And great, it's a top 10 matchup, but this is several times this year where I've seen a women's game on ESPN get a lot more attention than a top 15 men's game that ESPN has.
Real quick, apparently we do have some breaking news. Simon's watching. He says that Campbell said in his press conference yesterday, the reason for a special teams coach, because Chris and Chris made some great points on Iowa Everywhere, I decided to make the change.
Simon also says that all Iowa needs to do is build a bridge over that river, and the students will show up. Is there not a pedestrian bridge? Like, can you not walk over that? I'm telling you, these Iowa fans, they're making it seem like it's the 1700s, and you've got to, like, swim across the Mississippi River to get
it's
to
Oregon
the
Trail.
Yeah, you get
cock it and float.
Yeah, okay, well, we're gonna lose a few oxen. Might get pneumonia too. God, there's a bus. You get on the goddamn bus. There is a bus that goes around campus in Iowa City. Get on the bus. Get your ass over to Carver. Nope. I'd rather not.
And then you have these idiots in Ames who are camping out 3 nights before.
Mm-hmm.
Skipping class, just urinating all over the grounds of Hilton Coliseum just so that they could get... There's a tweet put out about how crazy of fans they are. Lord.
Again, I'll
that will be a
to
thing tomorrow it's, night. I promise you.
What?
There will be...
People pissing all over Hilton?
Well, there's going to be parties and tents and, like,
Oh, because the game's on Saturday. You're talking about Friday, yeah.
I'm talking about Friday night.
So what do you do in that instance? Do you bring, like, a big milk jug and everybody just pisses in the milk jug? And then you go, you take it out and dump it out somewhere? I mean, what do you do?
You know, I would like to think that Iowa State would be on top of this and know that these students are going to be doing this.
There?
Bring some porta potties. I would like to think that they would be prepared for this, but I... Other than that, it's just like, no, I mean, that kid's taking a dump over there in the bushes.
Do you think
that happened during Visha all the time?
Is that why they canceled it?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, a buddy of mine got arrested for taking a dump in the bushes at Friley Hall.
How horrifying would that be? You've got to go so bad, you can't wait. You've got to go in public, and then it's up on you. I mean, unless you're just being an idiot, like, yeah, I'm going to take a dump over here.
Would you rather risk it and go in public in these bushes where you think it's private, or would you rather go take a dump in a porta potty where people have been partying for three straight days?
God.
I think I'd rather roll my dice with the bushes.
I mean, yeah, but that's a better experience for sure. The porta potty, I think that's one of the reasons I don't go to live events as like a fan. The porta potty situation, the trough inside in like Kinnick Stadium, the trough.
Oh, huge trough guy. I like him.
You're just dangling there with 40 other men.
That bothers you?
When I was a kid, not go. Like I'd have to go in there and my dad would push me up there in between him and some other guy, and I'm like,
so if you go to the dirt tracks,
I was scared.
You're always going to have, like, instead, because they got the troughs, you know? But then if the troughs are full, then you just go in the sink.
Oh, man.
And it's just, it's all pipes.
There's always, like, two toilets, but they're just sitting there. They're not surrounded by any kind of, you know, wall or door. And there's always just one, just...
All right, you have to take a dump.
Oh, God. How do we get to this?
In one of those facilities that you're talking about, in one of those toilets, you got the troughs and you got the open face toilets. So there's nothing. You have to sit there and take a dump, or you have to go in the bushes outside of a dorm in Ames in public. You have to do one.
Oh, God. I mean, I would do it in a place where I wouldn't get arrested if.
Go in front of 40 other men looking at you?
Yeah, but like, why are the toilets? If you're not going to put a wall or a door, why do you then have to sit there and face everybody? You know, like, because you have to sit on the toilet and you're like looking at everybody. Like, if you're going to do that, if you're going to design something, like, let's turn that toilet around, have it face the wall so that you don't have to look at anybody. God, it's like a shaming thing. And I'll walk into the bathroom and make direct eye contact with this guy who's got his pants down at his ankles and he's just ugh. By the way, have you pube dube yet? The pube dube?
Yeah, what about it?
A dube filled with pube?
Yeah. I remember
that. I've got a lot of feedback on the pube.
That's the most you smoke that. That's the most disgusting thing, like smoking a bunch of rolled up pubes. Think about that.
It would burn though, wouldn't it?
By the way, too, what's funny is when I drive by Friley Hall now,
there's
the group of bushes, you know.
God, and where
my buddy took the dump, that bush is higher than the rest.
Haven't there been like a bunch of Iowa basketball players over the last 30 years that have done just crazy things in Iowa City like that? Like they wake up in a window well with just nothing on.
I have a feeling that that's probably the case at most college campuses, and not exclusive to Iowa.
Well, yeah, but it got out there. It was like public stories about it.
The old Holman and Vroman stories. From when those guys, the Bash Brothers,
who?
Jared Holman and Jackson Vroman, when they were names.
Okay.
They did
Vroman
some pretty,
and Holman?
Yeah. Do you remember those guys?
I remember when they played at Iowa State, but that was back when I poo-pooed everything Iowa State.
They were wild men. They were a good time.
I bet they were. Jeez.
Yeah. We lost Jackson a couple years ago, unfortunately. He had a tragic end to his life, but... Jared Holman's a great dude. That'd be a really fun off-season interview. He's fantastic. Iowa kid, farm boy.
Not have anybody on the show as a guest until we get Fran McCaffrey on the show.
Deal. All right, it's a challenge. Brock, thank you for your time today in the late notice.
Thanks, Brock.
Van Winkle
is good luck with the COVID-23.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Okay, good.
Living with family, so, you know, I got to stay away from everybody else.
That's good.
Poor guy, shut in his room, can't slide his meals underneath the door.
pretty
at least you can. At least we have this technology, and you're not, you know, you can still help out, and we appreciate it. Last minute, because Van Winkle was at that event last night, and he looked sick.
So he ate. Did he eat that Popeye's chicken sandwich at the event?
No, he ate it before he came there.
So it was uncooked, huh? It must have been.
I don't know.
Have gotten salmonella poisoning.
He texted me and he's like, "Do you want to produce the show?" And I was like, "Well, obviously I have nothing going on as a joke." And then he's like, "Well, I can't because I have food poisoning." I felt so bad after sending that text. I was like, "Oh Lord,
poor guy." Jeez.
Yeah, we're dodging bullets, Chris. So get to work. Appreciate you, my friend. Thank you to Brock Bierman for producing. Thank you to our friends at Fairway Meat and Grocery, as always. And go to iowaeverywhere.com and sign up for that free trip to Las Vegas. We
man,
can't wait to get
pull
that
away. Off, man. What a prize. That's amazing.
It's awesome, man. You know how Circa does it. They're first class
they
when they're your partner.
They go big, baby.
Yep. They're all in. We're excited to get that going. So he's Chris Hassel. My name is Chris Williams. Thank you for watching live. Thank you for listening on the Iowa Everywhere podcast. We'll be back on Monday.
Iowa Everywhere.